Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Good Monday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with Del, for the next 3 hours here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And while it wasn't, maybe it wasn't pretty, but what a weekend. What a weekend here. The Texans win. They're 2-0. The Astros sweep the Angels, right? You're supposed to do that. That's what you did. You took care of that business. Texas is number one. The Aggies might have found a quarterback. The University of Houston gets the Bayou Bucket back and did it in convincing fashion. It was a pretty damn good weekend. And, of course, we're going to start with the last night's game. And, Lance, that was a game they lose last year. That was the Panthers. That was the Falcons. That was one of those games where they didn't play well. They just had just over 300 yards of offense. They got lucky. CJ didn't have a pick. They, of course, made mistake after mistake. Toa was that holding call was huge. El Shaair on the sideline throwing punches is a bad thing. It's going to cost him. That's going to cost him.
That was stupid.
That was stupid. But they didn't, you know, the offensive line wasn't great. Couldn't run the football after, you know, dominating, running the ball. Missed call by the refs. How are they not calling the hip tackle on that play?
Yeah.
That's the definition of it.
That was pretty clear, but they've already said they're not going to call it very often. Mostly going to be handled through fines.
That's exactly why they introduced the call. And so if you're not going to call that one, you're not calling it all year.
Well, I mean, he fell on his – everything, like Tirico said, all four standards were present, and he fell on his ankle and hurt Joe Mixon's ankle. But he'll be fine. Al Shaair is going to be fined heavily. Al Shaair couldn't – get off the sidelines. You already did something stupid you got away with. Get off the sideline. Al Shaair couldn't stop talking yesterday. He was talking.
He wanted to be on that side. He wanted to take the whole team on.
Let me tell you why. You said that's a game they would have lost. I was thinking the same thing in the fourth quarter. Like, you should be really afraid when you punted, but I just wasn't, because the Bears couldn't move the ball at all.
Yeah.
You had the lowest quarterback rating of 4 in next gen history against the blitz. So you had Caleb Williams had absolutely no chance of moving the ball. The only thing that you could do was have pass interferences, which helped the Bears set up a score. And when Caden Bullock ran through a wide receiver, you had to have that. And then you would have to have stuff like, you know, punching people on the sideline turn into a 15-yard penalty, which it didn't. But you would have had to, like, you would have had to have helped them. The only way they could have beaten you. But I agree with you. The situation, because I thought about it last night, like, man, any other Texans team, I would have thought this is a loss. They have somehow found a way to snatch defeat out of the jaws of victory, because that's like they weren't great in the second half, but still, that was a game that they probably should have won by double digits. Yeah. And they ended up kicking 3 50-plus yard field goals. Kyme Fairbairn, first player in NFL history to have multiple 3 50-plus yard field goals in a single game. He's now done it twice. And the first time it's happened in NFL history, Kyme Fairbairn's done it. And you know, they had opportunities to score. They fumble going in. like, they screwed up the cover. Let's just be honest about this. Let's get the elephant out of the elephant in the room is they had an easy cover. They're up 9. They're about to go up 16. They fumble. Cam Akers fumbles. He gets pulled after that, by the way. He fumbles, and the Bears go down and kick a field goal, and you don't get a cover. It's like the Texans lost yesterday. Let's just be honest.
Well, they did lose. I mean,
they should have been, listen, they should have won the game by 16. They won by 6.
Yeah,
and they had to hang on in the last drive. Not really hang on, but, you know. I mean,
but hang on.
Caleb Williams had a run that put them near the 50-yard line.
Yeah. And it looked like they were going to, you know, this is the kind of game. In years, when they got the ball back, I thought, uh-oh, this is the kind of game that you just.
In years in the past, they would have got bit. Like, they would have
somehow
lost.
Yeah. I even think even last year.
I thought the same thing. Like, this is one of these games they typically lose. But they had 7 sacks last night. Caleb Williams really couldn't do anything. He's not ready yet. But none of these young quarterbacks are. His offensive line did not play well.
That pressure that he faced last night. Who could have done well?
They
with that?
Blitzed the hell out of him. It's the most D'Amico's defense has ever blitzed before they should.
It was awesome. I mean, that dude, you could see how frustrated Caleb Williams was. There were times where he's like, he's got his hands on his knees, and he's like, wow, this is just way too much. It was great. I'm telling you, if that defense didn't play that well, this defense has got a chance to be really, really good.
Yeah.
And they just took advantage. That offensive line was overmatched last night.
Yeah.
I didn't think the Texans offense, after being awesome the week before, the Texans offensive line, they couldn't do anything. They couldn't run the ball. The Bears had 71 yards. The Texans had 75 yards.
Of
rushing.
I mean, yeah, and a lot of that didn't happen until Cam Akers came in.
Right.
He had a couple good runs, you know, and then he fumbled, but. So the Texans got away from the zone scheme. They started running more gap stuff because the zone scheme wasn't working. And somebody asked me what the deal was. Is this just all because Juice Scruggs is gone? I really don't think so. I think it's just because the Bears front was just beating up the Bears front was just outplaying the Texans.
I think we found out at about 12:25 yesterday that perhaps the Colts just don't stop the run.
Yeah. By the way. The Colts' defensive tackles and defensive line, they gave up 115 yards in the first half running the football to Green Bay. They just aren't stopping the run. So the Texans they had a great game, but maybe that's not the norm. Maybe we shouldn't expect that to be the norm.
Yeah, I guess it's not. But, man, talk about second half. Here's second half. Bears punt, Texans punt. Bears punt, Texans punt, Bears punt, Texans punt.
No
interception, field goal, interception, punt, punt, fumble.
Yeah.
I mean, talk about it.
It was an ugly
You played a Bears game. You know what? That's the game that the Bears are going to wish they had back because that's a winnable game for them.
Well, it's one of those games where they had no business winning that they could have won.
Yeah,
like every once in a while you get a chance to steal a game like that.
Yep.
And they had a chance to steal a game that they had no business winning. And all they had to do was come up with one drive, you know, one deep completion. And they couldn't do it. And DJ Moore, you could see, he is over Caleb right now. He's
oh, my
really,
God.
Really
he walked
frustrated.
Off. He was so pissed
when
he along the sideline, Caleb just missed him and he was open. He just walked right to the bench. He said, I'm done with this right now. I can't do this anymore. I am not doing this right now. And walked to the bench. It was like... And this is a guy. Well, he did. He liked Justin Fields, though. You remember he pined for him stay.
Yeah, that's right.
He did.
He
wanted Justin Fields. And after 2 weeks, like you know what? He's like, oh, we need Justin Fields back. Oh, Justin Fields is 2-0.
That's something to keep your eye on. I mean, it may seem like a little thing, but that body language, like, and I get it. It's easy to be frustrated in that game because Caleb wasn't making throws, and frankly, didn't. I tell you what, he's tough as hell. He was in the second half, especially in the fourth quarter. The Texans had that drive where they hit him so hard, so many times. I mean, they were slaughtering him on. He'd get rid of the ball, and then he'd get hit and go sideways. Like it was, and he hung in and he played. I mean, he's got the toughness. But you saw how many checkdowns they had. He had 3 pass attempts over 10 yards. midway through the third quarter, everything, I think towards the end of the third quarter, maybe even into the fourth, everything was short. Like, he's reading everything short to deep, which means, you know, he has no confidence in his offensive line. He's not really seeing the field well. And I brought up that statistic. I don't know if I brought up the numbers because it was on the NFL's research sheet, but quarterbacks in their second game as rookies are terrible. Like, they don't really don't get any better. And Caleb wasn't, Bo Nix wasn't. Jaden Daniels was pretty good. He was okay.
Yeah, Jaden Daniels was okay. He was okay.
He was okay.
Well, that's only the second time that a team scored three touchdowns and the other team didn't score a touchdown.
And beat them.
And they lost. And the team that scored three touchdowns lost. It's only the second time. 1989 was the last time that happened.
Oh, yeah, because they only had 18 because they didn't have a field goal kicker.
They didn't have, yeah, you know, and boys, well, you're going to have to play Dayball a little bit later in the show, Dell. Boy, the New York media.
Well, John, you got to try an extra point. Like, you make it, they go for two when they're up three, and I'm like, what the hell is he doing?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
What, why, or no, yeah, they're up three instead of kicking an extra point. I didn't know Gano was out.
Yeah.
And then this, and then I got into it with some guy from, I guess he's a Giants fan. Like, yeah, welcome to the party. I'm like, I'm asking because I didn't know. I'm sorry. I wasn't locked in on Giants kicking situation since he's not going to hit my fantasy league for sure. And, you know, I said this game, I didn't realize he was out. And anyway, I don't want
to. Well, he started the game. Listen, he had a groin injury before the game. And opening kickoff, he's got a hamstring.
But that's one where you've got to probably have a second kicker.
Well, and that's what the New York media was all over Dayball, is because he didn't bring up the second kicker.
Yeah.
He just said, oh, no, he's going to be fine. And wait till you hear Dayball. he's pissed off. It's fun. We'll do that a little bit later in the show. Where are the so power rank the undefeated teams, the Bills, Steelers, Texans.
Well, Bills actually look pretty good.
The Bills look real good. Chargers, good. Chiefs.
Chargers haven't really been tested.
Vikings. Okay, Vikings.
Man,
Saints.
Talk about impressive.
Saints. Tampa and Seahawks. Well, the Eagles are undefeated.
Wow,
still
those
are undefeated,
all
but they only
the undefeated teams. Vikings with Sam Darnold. Seahawks. You got.
Hey, they beat the 49ers.
I know they beat them pretty good. Like, it was, they were putting it on him for a while.
That throw out of the end zone to Justin Jefferson.
Yeah.
Now, if they lose Jefferson for any amount of time, him walking off the field was not a good thing for them.
Yeah, he was hurt at the end. But,
yep.
I'd say the Texans. Well, I think the Texans are right up there. I watched Chiefs. I'm sure a lot of people watch Chiefs, Bengals, and Chiefs look pretty good. But Chiefs just, defensively, you know, Joe Burrow had a nice day. He got his confidence back, and they were moving the ball. I mean, there's a lot of field goals kicked. Not a lot of we're in a period of, there's some offensive frustrations going on right now. Man,
yep.
I mean, seven field goals and they are second now all time. They had 15 field goals of 50 or more yards. You saw the Bengals had to kick a bunch of field goals. You had Chiefs kicked a normal amount. The Reds, the Commanders had seven. Kymie Fairbairn, three. The Bears and Texans combined for 550-yard-plus field goals, which is the most in NFL history. I mean, teams have never had more 50-yard field goal attempts, and I guess it's a good thing because they are not scoring touchdowns right now.
No. Well, we got a lot to do. We're just getting it started now. If you got thoughts on the Texans last night, you're more than welcome to get in. 713-780-3776, the number to come on in and hang out with us. We got a lot of sound to play from yesterday's game. We got, what did you learn this weekend, in one sentence? That is just about 20 minutes away right now. So we got a lot to do here this morning. 713-780-3776. I'm talking right now about Jim Fiume over at Gulf Coast Windows. Gulf Coast Windows is a place to go if you want to get your window on. I mean, there's only, to me, if you're going to get replacement windows, you care, right? If your windows are leaky, if you feel like it's a little bit warmer near your windows, that's a really bad thing, because all that air conditioning is, you're wasting it. If it's noisy near your windows, okay, or God forbid, it's noisy when you're not near your windows, that's a really bad thing. That means that they're too thin. That means that they're just not doing their job. Maybe they were put in wrong, whatever the case may be. You got noise, you want that up. If you want the best windows in the market, there's one place to go. I spoke for Jim Fiume years ago, and we started doing this up again. He called and he said he wants to do it again, and it's just like it picked up right where he left. That dude has never changed. He's going to put the best window or door in the market out there, and he's going to do it with the best insulation he could possibly. You're going to get the best of everything. There's no question. And if you're not completely satisfied, he's going to get there. He's going to be there until he gets it perfectly for you. If you're building a new house, put Gulf Coast Windows in because you want the best windows in the market. There's only one place to go. When you're talking about quality, 713-849-5454, 713-849-5454, or GulfCoastWindows.com.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. I want to go through the drive chart, and we can pick out stuff that we want to talk about with each drive. But we've got a caller. This is a first-time caller to the show. It's false start on a mobile. Is that what it is, Dell? False start on a mobile.
What's up?
Yeah, what's going on?
What's up, guys?
How are you doing?
Hey, I was just
going
to head up to Minnesota and not call in the show, but Lance talked about over-unders earlier, and I don't know if you saw the over-under on Laramie Tunsil's false start was 1.5. So,
yeah,
you know, I think it was fourth quarter. We're driving in, and I had to jump out of that referee's pocket and go ahead and get that second false start.
I saw that.
Laramie Tunsil.
Yeah,
you know,
I saw
and,
that.
You know, the look on his face when I fall in the field, it's surprise every time. But he knows I'm going to show up at least once a game, and this year it's been twice each week. And I just tell you what, it's disappointing to see that he can't hold his water. I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, I'm surprised that he is always so surprised. I am. As a guy who has now broken the record, I assume, for most false starts in a career, I don't know that to be a fact, but I assume it's a new record. It is truly staggering to watch every week pass and Laramie Tunsil with more and more false starts. You know what? I'm going to pull up my PFF Ultimate, and I'm going to just check out. Go ahead. We'll just keep doing the show right now as is, and I'm just going to pull up my NFL statistics for penalties and see where he currently lands. I got a funny feeling he's up there pretty good.
Well, it's what he do, okay? And do you think it's contagious? Because the first series, Kenyon Green had the false start right next to him.
Yeah.
You think it's contagious?
Well, I mean, I get that every once in a while you're going to get off to a quick start because you're worried, but he just literally guesses the cadence. I mean, because he doesn't want to get beat around the edge, and he's a really good pass protector. He's got good feet, good technique, all that stuff. He just takes off quick.
Yep.
This is unbelievable how often he does this.
Well, and maybe that's why he's a really good pass protector, because he gets the best start every time. And, you know, listen, he ain't going to be beat off the ball, that's for sure.
No.
And you know what? That isn't how much does that have to do with being a good pass protector, right? If you're beat, if the guy's go around you already, he's halfway there to get the quarterback. And that ain't happening with Laramie Tunsil, because he is going to beat you to the punch every time.
Yeah, including with penalties.
With penalties.
Yeah.
With penalties. So the first series featured the Texans' first series of the game. It did feature a really nice run by Joe Mixon along outside.
Yeah.
Joe Mixon ran for 16 yards,
uh-huh.
Which was the best run of the night for the Texans.
That's that little jet sweep. They ran him on – they put Nico Collins in the backfield. They ran – Joe out wide, and then they ran him on a jet sweep, and he got a good block there at the bottom. I can't remember. It may have been they like to bring in Hutchinson for stuff like that to help block. And, yeah, he turned the corner. He slipped the tackle. It was a good run, and that was about it for him, though.
That was it. That was it all night for anybody. I mean, that was, well, Akers at the end, but then he fumbled, and you come sit down. You sit next to me, because we can't be having that in a game situation like that. Boy, what a blunder that was, that fumble. Holy crap. But, you know, it got off to a really nice start. Then you had a false start in there. You had incomplete passes, and you go and you kick a field goal. Nice start. They kick a field goal in there. That was the DeAndre Carter series where you thought, holy crap, this is going to be another Amari Cooper night. But it's going to be DeAndre Carter because every pass is to him.
Uh-huh.
And they come up with it. And then you get the sack, Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter. Boy, I felt bad. I felt bad for Caleb Williams. I just felt bad.
He got
crushed. I mean, there's a headline in one of the stories today, what's wrong with Caleb Williams? I'll tell you what was wrong with Caleb Williams last night. The offensive line was wrong with Caleb Williams. Now, that interception by Lassiter, that was a bad throw.
Well,
right?
But first of all, this because people are putting generational crap on him. It's like, give him time to breathe. He's played two games. People need to just slow down. My gosh, what's wrong with Caleb Williams? You're right. I mean, he's a rookie, and he's trying to learn to play on time. Everything was off schedule for him. I talked to a former NFL executive yesterday before. We were just talking about a bunch of stuff. And I talked about Caleb Williams. And he goes, you know, it's hard when all you do is make plays off schedule. And he said, it's really hard to learn to play on time in the NFL, especially if you're with a team that's not very good up front. Because we were talking about that matchup. And he said, I just don't know how long it's going to take Caleb Williams to learn to play. He said he may never learn to play on schedule. He may have to have things break down for him to be really good. The thing is, look how fast the Texans are. Like every time he did a great job of getting away from some of those would-be sacks, but the Texans are so fast and furious to the ball that it's not like Collinsworth made the comment last night, and I thought it was true. He in the Pac-12, Caleb's the best athlete on the field. In the NFL, he's got a bunch of athletes running after him.
Yeah.
It's like so much faster.
Yeah, and I don't know who was the best athlete on the field. When the Bears had the ball, it was probably Will Anderson or Danielle Hunter. That's the best athlete on the field right there when the Bears had the ball.
Yeah, by the way, how about the both your corners got interceptions yesterday? You had the receivers got behind them a couple times again, which, you know, it didn't hurt you because they couldn't complete a pass. But great interception. You go 50-50 against Derek Stingley, you're going to lose. And he lost. Sting with an interception down the sideline. And then another one, Caleb made a great play to get away from the sack. And then he threw the ball down the field and Laster came up with a big interception. So, I mean, the Texans just brutalized Caleb Williams.
They brutalized.
And I do wonder if he's going to lose any confidence. I think he's going to be okay. But we'll see, man. The Bears better get their running game going because the Texans were – what a much better job. Why do I always screw his name up? 2-0-2-0. Yeah, 2-0-2-0 did a really much better job, did a really nice job of flowing to the football and hitting
well,
everything.
Well, Aziz was better, too, now.
I thought Aziz was better, too. He got downhill better this year.
Yeah, Aziz, I had himself a night. He was very active. He really was. He was all over the field. He did a nice job, too. I tell you what, I can't wait for Christian Harris to come back, though.
I know, me too.
And then, so the second series, how about, I mean, this game, it could not have been uglier, and it could not have started any better. I mean, you got a field goal out of the Texans. You got a field goal out of the Bears. Then the next series, you got a chunk 18 yards to Nico Collins. You got 18 yards, Cade Stover. That was a really, really nice play.
Right.
You got 18 yards on Tank Dell. He goes around the end. By the way, Tank, you know, you had gotten that before the season started. It looks like Tank is probably going to be that odd man out when you just don't have enough footballs for everybody.
Yeah.
It's Tank. The addition of Stephon Diggs has really cost Tank.
Man, what I heard was exactly what's happening. Tank.
That's exactly what's happening.
It's Tank is just – well, I think the problem is because Diggs plays in the slot. I think if Tank were playing in the slot, it'd be different. But him playing outside, he's a small outside receiver, which isn't beneficial. Like, it's not pleasing to the eye to see a small target out there. with distance. What you want to do is see those guys closer to you from the slot, you know, running those little choice routes and breaking guys off at the break point, getting wide open. I think the Texans in some ways are hurt by not having Tank. He dropped one that should have been an easy catch yesterday for him. He just kind of misjudged it. It's been a rough start for Tank, and it's funny. I hear people are asking, and I can tell they're not Texans fans. I'll go to their bio. It's clearly fantasy football related. They're like, what's going on with Tank Dell? Why isn't CJ looking at him? Well, number one, CJ is not going to just – I mean, I say CJ's not just going to look at one wide receiver. This is three consecutive games of over 100 yards dating back to last year for Nico Collins. Nico Collins is off to a fantastic start.
Yeah. And you know what? And the talk was before the season started, Nico's going to be the guy. Stephon Diggs is going to have to get. And after this game, Stephon Diggs might be going, and you know what? A little bit in the back of his mind, he's going, hey, how come I'm not getting more targets?
Hey. I thought the same thing. I'm like, I hope Stephon's not mad.
He had three catches last week, six targets last week.
Yeah.
He didn't have targets this week. It won't be long before that volcano erupts.
Guys, these targets are low.
They're going to have to figure that one out. All right, we're just getting started. 713-780-3776. If you're some kind of inanimate object like the flag, a false start flag, then you're more than welcome to call in. You, come on and hang out with us, 713-780-3776. Right now I'm talking about Doc Lindell. I'm talking about your hair. I'm talking about your ability to have hair. You're too young. You're way too young to be worried about your hairline. You're way too young to be worried about that bald spot that's growing in the back. And listen, now is the time to attack it. Not when you go completely, but it's too late, and you gotta fill in your whole head. That's not the time. The time is now. When you're sitting there and you're worried and you're looking at them, you go ahead. Go look in the rearview mirror right now and grab that hairline and see, oh, my goodness, look at this. It keeps on raising every day. Well, do something about it, man. Don't let this beat you. You do not have to be bald. You don't. Doc Lindell is here for you. And you don't want to be bald. No, you don't want to be like that. You want to be a superhero. Superheroes have hair. So be a superhero and get to 975hair.com. The process is great, easy. If not the neo-grafting, which is wonderful, then you got the PRP, which just stimulates the growth. You can do this. 975hair.com, 975hair.com.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776. In about 10 minutes, we're going to play What Did You Learn This Weekend in One Sentence. You guys have been pretty damn good at it lately, so let's keep it up. Let's go. Think about it now, and you bring it in about 10 minutes. What did you learn this weekend in one sentence? The number is 713-780-3776. Not yet. Not yet.
How are we feeling, Cowboys fans?
Listen,
you got the most expensive quarterback in the world. It's not just in the NFL, and it's not just in the United States. This is now the most expensive quarterback in the world, Dak Prescott. And I don't know about you, but I thought my money would buy me more than an ass kicking like that at home.
Well, it was more about the defense, wasn't it?
Dak can score enough, if he scores touchdowns every time out there.
35 in the first half, dude.
It wasn't great. Oh, man, congrats on such a great game for Kamara. I was so happy to see him have a big game.
44 he put up on you.
44
I got Kamara in both leagues.
And I actually had a decent week for my players. They were actually okay, but 44. And Amari Cooper. Even when Deshaun has a good game, Amari Cooper is a useless, meaningless player now. Deshaun's the worst. Even when he wins for his team, he sucks.
Yeah. That performance, but that Cowboys defense, holy crap, dude.
I know this place loves to blame the Cowboys, but let's just sing the praises of the newest Kubiak to take the league by storm.
What about that?
Clint Kubiak. Yeah. Let's just honor the Saints for finally punting after 15 straight possessions of scoring in the first game with the Panthers.
Clint Kubiak.
Derek Carr doesn't punt.
Man, did you see him? Did you see him go Michael Jackson in the end zone? After a touchdown, he did the crotch grab. He kicked his legs, did the crotch grab. I'm like, man, but Derek Carr is feeling himself, literally.
Did you see that nobody celebrated with him, though?
I know. Derek Carr doesn't care. He doesn't care.
No, Derek Carr just – well, Derek Carr's playing some good football now.
He is.
He's playing
– And Clint Kubiak is now the play caller there, huh?
Yes.
I mean
– lighten it up. We thought it was just the Panthers. But we saw what the Cowboys ruined Deshaun in week one. And then they went into Dallas and did the same thing.
Hey, I'll say this. Kyle Shanahan is, you know, son of a play caller, son of an offensive guru, and Mike Shanahan. But that offense had gotten stale, and so he threw a lot of wrinkles in it. So what we see now, Kyle Shanahan is a master play caller because he's changed the offense a little bit and really modernized it. I would imagine Clint Kubiak learned everything under his dad, Gary. And then he's got his own wrinkles in it. I really didn't watch. I didn't watch any of that game yesterday. The Cowboys. I was watching a bunch of other ones, but I would imagine. I can't wait to see some of the tape because I'm interested to see what he's doing offensively. Besides letting Kamara go for, you know, four touchdowns.
And of course, Clint was also an assistant under Shanahan last year, so he's got some of that in him too.
Well, right. if you're a Shanahan assistant, that's the one. Forget McVay.
I know.
If you're a Shanahan, of course, that's the same tree. So
McVay developed LaFleur, so it works either way. Yeah.
But LaFleur. It's all stemming from the Mike Shanahan, Gary Kubiak model.
Mike Shanahan is where it all started, and Gary came off that tree, and that tree has been a really good tree.
Yep. Not bad at all. Dell, we got a caller on the line.
Yes, maybe Jim takes issue with the refs. I know we had the false start flag. Well, the people throwing those flags, apparently Jim doesn't like either, so we'll see.
Okay.
What's up, Jim?
Hey, good morning, guys. I don't have a problem with the false starts, but it just seems like they throw too many penalties, and, I mean, I can see on my TV screen that they just let a hole go. I mean, they had Anderson in a headlock, and they're calling unnecessary roughness his name, the tackle had a
Edwards.
It looked like a clean play on the quarterback.
It did. It didn't look like he hit him in the head. It was just a split second after he threw the ball. That was a bad call.
It was helmet to helmet, but it was not a. I thought in slow motion it looked like it, but it didn't look like a spear. Like he wasn't leading with it. It looked like face mask. Like I'm kind of with you. I don't know that I would call that one. One that they could have called it on, which I was like, oh my god, I hope no one talks about this, is when Jalen Petrie comes running up and smacking. Did you remember? It was a quick little sideways pass because that's all Caleb could complete. And
no, I thought it was that was as clean a hit as you could get.
No. I'm not talking about the one with the arms coming forward where they ended up taking it away. Where they said, okay, I'm not talking about that. That was clean. I'm talking about, Swift. He came and hit him, and he actually led with his helmet. But I guess because it was running back and defensive back, they didn't call it.
And
but
maybe they ruled he was no longer
college,
defenseless or something.
Yeah,
in
I don't
college,
know. In college, that would have been called.
That would have been called at least a review for targeting. They may have wiped it away because he didn't hit him with the crown of his helmet, and a running back at that point might no longer
Edwards
be defenseless.
Was looking up at what he was hitting.
He's a quarterback. You know, if the face mask touches, they're throwing the flag.
But if you're not blocking appropriately and he's he was trying to get over him to
understood.
Engulf
he tried
him.
To get it over the center, whoever it was, but he made contact with the face, and that's, you know, the deal. They see that.
It's when
the
only
flag's going to
come
out.
The ball.
Yeah.
Well, but how does he not – how you see that, but you don't see the headlock that Will Anderson has got on him? I mean, it's right behind the play.
Different guys
right
call
behind
different
Edwards
things.
Hitting him. You got he almost choked him out. He literally almost choked Will Anderson out. And you don't call that.
Yeah.
Though.
Yeah, that's all I'm talking about, exactly what John's saying. And then what is it? Maybe y'all can explain to me what is going to happen. Was it the linebacker that punched the guy on the sideline? I mean, it seems like we, I mean, I love D'Amico, but we got to get better discipline. I don't know how you do it on the NFL level. I know it's not as easy as in college, but I mean, that's way too many penalties if you're going to hang with Buffalo KC.
Well, 12 penalties.
Jim,
man,
appreciate that is. And but here's the deal, Nico. Okay, I know it's always the adage is, oh well, it's, they always catch the second guy. How did you not see the finger in his face mask right before Nico hits him?
Yeah,
Nico,
that was unfortunate that Nico got caught.
Made up
with
for
that.
It on the next play, yep. but Jim's right. You can't be doing that, Nico. You got to go at the refs and say, look at this guy. I mean, you were down to the 13-yard line, back to the 28. Yeah. Very next play, Nico scores the touchdown.
Yeah,
but that could be a killer for your football team.
Yeah, it could have been. You know, you think about Titus Howard hands to the face. Sometimes that's going to happen. The two false start penalties. You know, one is expected at least. Al Shaer didn't get called for that, but will be fined. To answer your question, Jim, he'll be fined pretty heavily during the week. But no suspensions or anything like that. But
any chance he's suspended?
No, nah, I don't think so.
I don't think so either, but you never know.
They didn't catch it. They'll just find.
Well, he's got a punch, and then he's got a headbutt.
Yeah,
he's going to get hit with a couple. I think there's a headbutt.
Yeah, the headbutt on the sideline
on the same sequence. Yeah,
dude, you got to get. And that guy he punched, he was like, "I'm just dead."
You talk about.
I'm not doing anything.
You talk about discipline. The Bears after the headbutt and the punch didn't retaliate
at
all.
I mean, I'm surprised it didn't turn into a full scale brawl.
Yeah,
yeah.
And Folu Fatukasi was mad, and then. Al Shaer just kept standing there like, somebody get his ass off the sideline.
Well,
seriously,
Aziz,
get him out of there.
Aziz had to hit on Caleb Williams on that sideline play.
Yeah.
Then he headbutts a guy, and the same guy he punches.
Yeah, I'm surprised. Eberflus
and he
may
got
say,
zero penalties.
Why the hell did we not kick the crap out of this guy on the sideline? That's what he may be saying. But, yeah, now, I didn't think it was I thought it was a good call.
It was a clean hit.
One thing I've noticed is that officials are not falling for the flops. There was
He was in play. He was in field of play.
Yeah, he was in a field of play. And there was somebody else who, you know, if you touch them and they crumble to the ground. I saw another game like that.
Caleb Williams tried to, not on that one, but there was another one where he was off.
And they didn't call
it. And they kind of tapped him and he fell and they didn't call it.
Yeah.
And Aaron Rodgers, it happened in the Tennessee game where Aaron Rodgers was still in the field of play. I forgot which Tennessee player, tapped him. And Aaron Rodgers like, hey, man, I'm running out of bounds. Give me a break here. So I noticed that defenders aren't really giving the quarterbacks, okay, you're heading out. I'm just going to let you go. They're trying to get their pops
but
in.
But be careful, though, because, you know, they're not calling the little – they're not calling penalties on the little flops that quarterbacks like to do. But sooner or later, they're not going to just let you keep getting your shots in on quarterbacks. I mean, that's not going to happen. You already saw Mario Edwards just – was obliterating the offensive line and got to the quarterback, and they're like, oh, 15-yarder. All I could think of was, this is the only way they can move the ball.
Yeah.
Just
all right, we
got to
break it because we got on the other side. What did you learn this weekend in one sentence? So here we do. Here's what we do. You give a call, 713-780-3776. Get in line now. And if you can't get in, you're getting a busy signal. Wait, because somebody's going to get off the line, and you're going to be able to get in. You got one sentence to tell us something that you learned this weekend. It could be about sports. It could be about anything. Whatever it is that you want to talk about, 713-780-3776. Lance wants to talk about Craig DeCerf.
Yeah, because Craig,
more than one sentence.
Yeah, Craig DeCerf is, and Craig DeCerf deserves it. They got some awesome deals. I was just looking through what some of the Chevy opportunities were. If you go to the website and you can see it for yourself, oh, my gosh, it is so good what they've got offered up at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC on their programs right now. You do not want to miss out on this. They've got 0% financing available for some of the Chevy Silverados they have in stock. You've got great lease opportunities for Chevy crossover vehicles. They're really just called SUVs now, but they're different size SUVs. You don't want to miss out on it because when you are looking for leases, for example, every once in a while you'll have this opportunity arrive, and they've got lease opportunities that are phenomenal. So if you're looking to purchase, they've got some great purchase opportunities and APR financing, which is something you're looking for. But the trading value is always going to be strong on your trading vehicle. They're always going to find you as much dealer incentives and any type of cash back they can because they want to lower your monthly rates and they want you to be happy. So you come back and get your second car and you tell other people about it. It's just the way they do business. They're no hassle, and they are really good at making sure that you are happy with your vehicles at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Did you guys hear that during the spot?
No. Did you just have one of your earthquakes?
No.
Did you
smell toast?
It's an Alexa, but I don't have an Alexa.
It could be Siri on your phone may have heard you say something.
No, it wasn't my phone. It was behind me.
Yeah, we didn't hear anything.
No.
You didn't hear
it? Is your TV a smart TV?
It's a haunted home that you're living in?
It might be. I don't know.
Daughter's Alexa will just go off in the middle of the day and start talking. I'm like, what the hell?
But John doesn't have one of those devices. He's not sure.
I don't know. It just started talking out of the wall.
By the way, because of how busy today is, we might have to save this for tomorrow, but let's not pretend John wasn't at a very special event yesterday.
I know.
We'll get into that at some point.
Let's get all these calls in that we can, because there's a lot people learn. First thing I learned is that Quinn Ewers just lost his job.
You think he got Wally pipped?
Quinn Ewers apparently just lost his job. He's done with it.
Okay. One thing I learned, Connor Wegman lost his job.
Yeah. I kept hearing how good he was, too.
I've been hearing that for 2 years now.
Yeah.
All of a sudden.
Dell, what did you learn this weekend about your Miami team?
Well, I learned that if you're Oregon State, you should be a little insulted because Miami beats FAMU by 60. You lose to your rival, and Miami jumps Oregon. Like, I'm done with what I learned. But beyond that, how does Oregon destroy Oregon State and then lose a spot to a Miami team who beat Ball State? It wasn't FAMU, it was Ball State. What do they think of Oregon State?
Not much.
Apparently not much. And what does Washington think about losing Kalen DeBoer now?
Well,
losing to Washington State.
Jed Fish didn't make a great final call. Washington State, you think you're better than us, Washington? You think you're better than us?
Watch this.
Okay, we'll see.
Watch this. All right, let's get them in here. What did you learn this weekend? You got one sentence. 713-780-3776. As soon as somebody's off, you get in. Let's go. Okay, Dal, call them out.
We'll go with Peter first. Peter, what did you learn?
Hey, guys. I learned that because I'm bald, according to John, I must be a supervillain. Thank you.
You're just learning that? John's been on that tip for...
No, that's not what I said. That's not what I said. I said you can't be a superhero. Doesn't mean you're a supervillain.
Tell it to Black Adam. I guess you haven't seen Black Adam.
Yeah, and you have pointed out before that...
Ben Diesel, superhero.
The bad guys often are bald, you said.
He does do that. But Vin Diesel, superhero.
He's not a superhero.
Yes, he is. He does a lot of superhero things in Fast and Furious. And Black Adam, superhero. The Rock, bald.
The Rock, not a superhero.
In that movie, he was. So you're not always right on this. Sure.
Yeah.
The trend, sure. But you can find some guys. Don't worry about what John says, people.
Between. I feel like John has been shaken has been shaken by that Alexa thing.
Whatever the hell that was in the
really
background.
Have.
Let's move on to everyone. We got a full board. Let's get to Dr. Dre. What have you learned?
Hey, Double Rod fellas. Hey, I learned Macaulay Culkin liked to spend the night with Derek Carr.
What?
I don't get the reference.
Macaulay Culkin, I don't
so
get
Home
it either.
Alone?
Well, because he... Probably because he did a Michael Jackson thing. That's what he's
talking about. Oh, okay.
Yeah, because he did a Michael Jackson dance.
And Macaulay Culkin used to hang out with Michael Jackson.
Okay. Yeah, but so did Webster.
Oh, he sat on his... He carried Webster around,
The signs were all there. We should have just...
Allegedly.
More alleged attention to it.
Allegedly. Let's move on to JP. JP, what did you learn?
Morning. I learned that... Here's a couple guys that, by any means necessary, will get their Swifty name drop in and simultaneously roll every eye in America.
I think he's talking about Tariq and Collinsworth because they mentioned Taylor Swift. right? He said Swifty?
Yeah, Swifty name dropped in.
Yeah, because they had a Taylor and they had a Swift on the sideline.
The Bears
so
do.
They did that.
The Bears do have a player name. I think it's Darrell Taylor and obviously DeAndre Swift. Yeah.
So were they standing next to each other?
No,
but they screenshot. You know,
the producers put the two.
Shot.
Yeah.
Oh, I gotcha. Yeah, I don't remember that, but okay. I know what I'm watching right now. The replays, Lance. That hit that you're talking about on DeAndre Swift when he was in the flat. Holy crap!
He came in with the head.
Oh my god! All right, Dell. Who's next?
We got Mike. Mike, what have you learned?
Hey, guys, I learned this weekend that not enough nail polish and lip gloss can stop Caleb Williams from throwing interception.
That's terrible. Nail polish and lip gloss. And look at this. Well, Alex says, I learned that LGBQB1QB1 is a lot tougher than I gave him credit for.
While it's funny to attack Caleb Williams, did you see what C.J. Stroud was wearing into the game?
No, I didn't see C.J.'s pregame fit.
That's all I'm going to give you. You find it.
Boy, for you to say that.
The Houston Texans have, you know, they'll put up the guys walking in. It's on their timeline. You can find what he was wearing. I don't know. I'm just saying, I don't know. But we will move on from the two QB1s from last night, and we'll go to Dave. Dave, what did you learn?
I learned that the NFL recruited the chain gang crew from Gilbert's nursing home. Anyways.
They were older, and one gentleman fell and looked like he may have hit his head. He did trip over nothing, it appeared. But
he fell over the yard marker or something.
They were a little older, the guy that got hurt. They had to stop the game for a while they attended to a chain gang guy who fell down and hurt himself, and he had to go. So, I learned that John, a.k.a. Mega Blast, went to Gilbert's Sharpview to his nursing home and brought him 6 egg rolls from China Garden.
That was neat.
Really
nice
good.
Job.
Really good.
Very nice job.
And I'm going
very
this nice. Week. We're going to take stock of everything Gilbert needs, and you guys can help me crowdfund this, and we're going to get it for Gilbert. We're not going to let him go out in a crappy
go out.
Facility.
What do you mean go out?
Well, I mean, he's not – and this facility better – when I get there, they better be tip-top, or it's going to be some problems on this show.
Dell, are you talking about this leather jacket and jeans thing that CJ was wearing?
I can't find it.
Yeah, the jeans are – I don't care so much about the jacket, but the jeans are
– are they ripped up?
No.
They're high-waisted.
I wouldn't have put that on young athlete about town, those jeans, but hey – It's the youngins. They wear what they like.
They
did
do.
He have his? Did his was his back blown out?
That's not for
that
all quarterbacks.
That's how quarterbacks dress these days.
That's how one quarterback.
It's the first Texans 2-0 start since 2016. Let's cut it out.
Okay. Who's next, Del?
Let's hope Lane doesn't have his back blown out. What's up, Lane?
Stop it.
No, I don't. And that doesn't count as my sentence.
No, go ahead.
I learned that as a Titans fan, it's going to be a long season for me because the team does not intend on learning anything from week to week.
God, did you see the dumb play?
Oh, my God.
Last week was dumb. This week was dumb by Will Levis.
Did you see what Callahan said?
No.
Right after he did that? They went to the – if you go and get that replay, they went to the sidelines, and he said, literally, what the F are you doing?
Oh, I did see that, yeah. Well, he threw the ball backwards while he was – it was such a stupid move.
It was the dumbest play ever. He and Deshaun. Deshaun did the same thing last year.
What does this mean? Tony said, I learned that most of the first half last night when Caleb Williams did anything, Chris Collinsworth was touch and bust.
Well, we talked about this last. You know what it means. We talked about it last week.
What does that mean? I don't get it.
You know what it means. Shannon told us what that meant.
I know it is. Keep going.
All right, we got a full board still. Let's get to Ocho. Ocho, what did you learn?
Yeah, I learned that C.J. Stroud really loves tall, big-bodied receivers, and 6'3" Brian Thomas Jr. would have been a much better fit than Stephon Diggs.
Mm.
Well, that wasn't an option.
Yeah, well, it was earlier until they made the trade, remember? Didn't they have a first-round pick?
Yeah, but they traded out of it early.
This is what he's saying. He's saying he would rather have had them draft a receiver than trade for Stephon Diggs.
Yeah, that's fine, but we got to give Jacksonville a shot, at least, in the division.
Well, is that what you're looking for to get? Yeah. I don't think...
Yeah. Maybe it ain't going to come from the Colts or the Titans.
It ain't going to come from Trevor Lawrence, the way he's playing.
Well, did you hear what Trevor Lawrence said about their play?
What did he
say? We suck.
Well, yes.
Make sure you say we.
We suck right now.
Or you could have just said I. I mean, because he wasn't good yesterday. No. Deshaun Watson was on the field, and Trevor Lawrence still was the second-best quarterback.
That's true.
Yep. All right, who's next?
Let's go to – we got the warehouse in the building. Let's go to La Raza first, and then we got Lazy J.
La Raza, ¿qué pasó, mijo?
Gentlemen, deportes, I'll make it quick. Hey, so over the weekend I learned that apparently the Yeti is Mexican. That was Canelo's cousin holding the title. And also Pat McAfee does love him some Gamecocks.
Yeah, he said that on the broadcast.
Yeah,
he said he was choosing them. And Kirk, they don't even hide it. Kirk Herbstreit said, you just wanted to say that.
Yeah. Well, that's McAfee.
Yeah.
That's how I would be if I went to a South Carolina game.
Oh, no. McAfee is everything that you would want to do. Like, he does it and has no fears, no consequences. He knows he's untouchable.
Yeah, he really is untouchable. I didn't get the first part, but okay.
Apparently, Canelo's cousin looks like a Yeti. We got a couple more to go before we wrap it up here. Let's get to the second member of the warehouse that we know, Lizzie J.
Hey, good morning, fellas. What I learned, actually this morning, is John and Lance, man, they approve, and ESPN approves of woman beaters, domestic violence, Alvin Kamara.
Approve of them? It's fantasy football.
Well, remember, this is the Cowboy fan.
Oh, okay. Now, I just need upset. Contact.
Yeah, he's the Cowboy fan.
Bro, listen, you're not going to lose every week by 35 or whatever. Everything's going to be fine next week. You don't have to keep watching. Kamara, maybe next week he'll be Tyreek Hill getting you. I don't know.
No, let him play them. We got a couple more. Let's get to Jimmy. Jimmy, what did you learn?
Hey, guys, if you're having a bad day, what you can do is try to egg somebody else to race you in a school zone and watch the fireworks occur after that.
Really? I don't know. What? That doesn't sound like a good thing to do. I am curious about the story, but I don't
rev his engine and look to the left, and then the guy was like, "Yeah, let's go," and then you just don't go, and now he gets pulled over. Is that what happened?
It sounds exactly like what happened
in a school zone.
I know that's
I don't know,
but
that
I am
one's
curious
tough.
How this story went down. I'll be honest.
Well, Jimmy, you want to call in during a different segment and explain that? You're more than welcome. We got one more before we have to go. David, what did you learn?
I learned that Tua is going to be the official spokesman of Anacin migraine medicine from now on.
Yep, he is.
Well, it's good. He's going to the neurologist this week. We'll see. Who knows?
Yeah, but that arm grab, that arm shaking thing.
It has happened. It happened against Cincinnati.
Before.
Yeah, so we'll see. Schefter reported that there's no plans to retire, but the neurologist has to tell him what he wants.
I learned that Elle Duncan compared her C-sections to Tua's concussions.
Yeah, the context of that is Stephen A. Smith said it's hard for men not to – something along the lines of men will sacrifice themselves for their family. And Elle Duncan was, well, wait a minute. I had a couple C-sections and a kid, so I know about sacrificing for my family.
Wait a minute. As somebody who has been there for the birth of five children – the C-section, I'm just keep it
Are
real
Are you
here.
Going to it was walk yourself
for
into
my
trouble?
Wife? No, I don't think so. For my wife, the C-section was way easier than the natural birth.
Apparently, L. Duncan did not see it that way.
Yeah, no, apparently not. Did you get it, Lance? No.
He doesn't know. L. Duncan. You're not a woman.
I had to have an ablation. That's harder than any of y'all do.
You're appropriating. Okay.
Are you, though?
What was I appropriating?
You're trying to put yourself in L. Duncan's shoes.
L. Duncan's trying to do that
you just better watch yourself.
Well, she was just defending. Yeah. She probably didn't like
Stephen
A's.
You're not an ally.
She put on, she said also as a black woman, too, so just watch yourself where you're going right now.
Yeah,
you
right.
better watch
you're
yourself.
Right.
Time to talk about Coors Light. Hey, nice job, people. Nice job. What did you learn this weekend in one sentence? Every Monday right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I learned this a long time ago, that I love Coors Light. It's hard for me. Like, last night I was at an event and they didn't have any Coors Light. And I'm like, why? Why would you not have Coors Light? When I got to drink this crap? I mean, it is. Everything else just doesn't compare. As far as I'm concerned, there's one taste for beer, and that's Coors Light. And a lot of you, you're like, oh, I got an IPA, and it's a flat tire with rubber in it and nuns in some kind of convent.
Rubber and nuns in a beer?
Yeah,
That's crazy.
Yes. I mean, I don't know. But, oh yeah, all these different names for all these different beers. You're just trying too hard. How about just have a cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light? How about to have your mountains blue? How about knowing that your mountains are blue because it's just awesome, okay? Knowing that your beer is cold. You don't know if your beer is cold when you just look at it. I know. You know how I know? Because my mountains are blue. And you know how I'm keeping Texas chill? By drinking Coors Light. You can keep Texas chill, too. Let's go. Start now. If you haven't done it before, start now. But always have it on hand when your buddies come over. Cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light. There's only one way to go, brother. Climb on.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.